Pope? That's a weird job, huh? Anyone Pope here? Pope never goes out. Wouldn't it have been weird to go to high school with the Pope? You know, somebody did. Somebody sitting at home watching TV in Poland, they see the Pope, they think, that guy was a jerk. He was so mean to me, and now he's Pope? I got a swirly from the Pope. I think it'd be great if you had a kid that ended up being Pope. That would be the ultimate bragging rights. Oh, your son's a doctor? Yeah, ours is Pope. You guys okay for him? Oh, they have a house? He has his own city. It's in Europe. Do you think when the Pope was a little kid, he fantasized about eventually becoming Pope? You know, like we might about being a professional athlete? Was he like 8 years old in his backyard going, there he is, the leader of all the Catholics! Frightened of this new Pope.
It ain't no use to sit and wonder why, babe. It don't matter anyhow. And it ain't no use to sit and wonder why, babe, if you don't know by now. When the rooster at the break of dawn, look out your window and I'll be gone. You're the reason I'm traveling on. Don't think twice, it's alright. It ain't no use in turning on your light, babe, a light I never knowed. It ain't no use in turning on your light, babe, I'm on the dark side of the road. Still I wish there was something you would do or say to try and make me change my mind and stay. We never did too much talking anyway, so don't think twice, it's alright. I'm walking down that long lonesome road, babe. Where I'm bound, I can't tell. But goodbye is too good a word, gal, so I'll just say fare thee well. I ain't saying you treated me unkind, you could have done better, but I don't mind. You just sort of wasted my precious time, but don't think twice, it's all right. It ain't no use in calling out my name, gal, like you never did before. It ain't no use in calling out my name, gal, I can't hear you anymore. I'm a-thinking and a-wondering all the way down the road. I once loved a woman, a child, I'm told. I gave her my heart, but she wanted my soul.
Don't you love that song? I love everything Peter, Paul, and Mary does. Oh, I never get tired of listening to Peter, Paul, and Mary. Don't think twice. It's all right. Who wrote that song? I forget who wrote it. Was it Bob Dylan who wrote that song? I got to look that up. Who wrote that song? Anyway, I tried to look it up, but it didn't take. I just stuck my nose out the door, you know, to just breathe in that beautiful morning air. The sun is up. It's sunny out there, gorgeous, 45 degrees. The birds are chirping. And also, that woodpecker that I heard yesterday, he's still out there. He's really going at it. He's out there. What Tucker. He's really going at it. I don't know how hard they do that. He goes, I mean, he's really, I don't know if he's doing it in somebody's house, somebody's head, or he's doing it on the telephone pole or a tree. I don't know what he's doing, but he's out there. All right. I did look at a Bob Dylan wrote, Don't Think Twice, It's All Right. Yeah, Bob Dylan wrote a whole bunch of great songs. He sang it, but he gave it to Pete and Paul and Mary to do as well. It's 7-Eleven WRJN Radio. Thank you for joining me. I'm Don Rosen. It's going to be a beautiful day today. Sunny with a high in the 60s. Cloudy chance of showers tonight. Lows 44. Showers tomorrow with a high near 51. But for the weekend, sunny on Saturday and Sunday with a high both days in the 60s. Right now, sunny, beautiful, gorgeous, 45 degrees. And I am going to put the snow shovel away. I know I shouldn't do it. It's leaning up against the back gate. I'm going to put it away. I'm going to take that risk. If I put it away, we won't get any more snow. I think we're done with the snow. Of course, it snowed last week, so. But I think we're done with it. We've got the Brewers taking on the Cincinnati Reds, 5:05 on WRJN this afternoon. Be here for that. Maggie Dawn's going to join us. Maggie's got some background. She's an attorney. She was responsible for a $1 billion compensation fund in Milwaukee. I got to talk to her about all that stuff. Yeah, you hear her on the radio, but you know her background. So Maggie Dawn's going to join us 7:30 this morning at WRJN. If you have a text message you want to send to me, you can do it. 262-300-7445. Or download the Civic Media app. You can do everything on the Civic Media app. If you download that app, then everything else is real easy after that. You can check out our podcast. You can listen to us live. You can and you can also send a text message. 262-300-7445 if you don't download the app. If you download the app, you don't have to worry about the phone number. 262-300-7445 or download the Civic Media app. All right, fake five-star reviews are a very real thing. But now the FTC is taking them... making them illegal with huge fines for sellers, up to $50,000 for each fake review and every time a customer sees it. How do they enforce that? They're supposed to be charging thousands of dollars to people who, you know, do those fake phone calls to you, the telemarketers. They were supposed to do that, too. I don't think they do that. They threaten them, but I don't think they fine them. Be happy you don't live down south. A couple in Louisiana surprised in the middle of the night by a 5-foot alligator. The alligator snuck in through a doggy door. Wow. Imagine waking up, going for a glass of water in the middle of the night. Whoa, look who's in the kitchen. And they hiss. They go, and they're fast. You think alligators would be slow, but they're not. They're fast. That's why I don't want to live down south. All right, some wedding customers are out, wedding customs are outdated. Here's what they claim. The bride not being seen before the wedding. I didn't see my bride before the wedding. How about the bride's parents paying for it? If that's outdated, tell me about it, because I put a big chunk of money on my daughter's wedding. How about some new traditions? They include non-white wedding gowns. I don't know how I got started on watching Say Yes to the Dress. Remember that show that used to be on, Say Yes to the Dress? I started watching that, and there were brides getting married in black wedding gowns, blue, red, all different kinds. So, yeah, I guess it's pretty normal now. You ever put your phone on mute or do not disturb to avoid distractions? A new study found it might actually do just the opposite. Researchers tracked 138 iPhone users for 4 days with their permission. The ones who set their phones to silent actually checked it more often and experienced more phone-related stress, because now you got to check it because I didn't hear it. Did anybody try to call? Yeah. A woman got down on one knee to propose to her boyfriend at a music festival in England. He got down on one knee at the same time, proposed to her. It turns out both of them had the same idea. They had rings and planned to propose to each other on the same day. Odd but true, this is for fans of Star Wars. In George Lucas's early drafts of The Empire Strikes Back, Yoda was named Buffy. Yeah, it doesn't sound right, does it? Buffy. Yeah, it's got to be Yoda. It's funny because occasionally we will see... Like, we saw The Godfather the other day at the Renaissance Theater. Godfather was showing. And I was telling my wife, Danny Thomas wanted the role of The Godfather before Marlon Brando got it. And I said, I can't imagine Danny Thomas in there. She goes, you can't imagine it because you know Marlon Brando was The Godfather and he did it so well. I said, no, Danny Thomas, I can't picture as the Godfather. I just no, it doesn't work. You know, Marlon Brando is the Godfather. Same thing with Al Pacino. You know who the original actor was they wanted? Paramount Pictures wanted Robert Redford from Michael Corleone. I can't picture him. First of all, he doesn't look Italian. Al Pacino looks Italian. So I wouldn't buy it. But Robert Redford as Michael Corleone? See, we only know Al Pacino as Michael Corleone, so it wouldn't work. A survey asked people what streaming services they would keep if they can only keep one. Netflix came out on top, followed by Max, and then Hulu. Fourth place, Disney Plus, Amazon, Paramount, Apple TV Plus, and a tie in eighth place between Discovery Plus and Peacock. But those change all the time, depending on what shows these networks have. But Netflix, number one. And Netflix started as a DVD delivery service. That's how they started their company. And I had that for years until last year when they discontinued it. And I got my DVDs somewhere else now. Here's a weird question for you. When was the last time you wrote something down with a pen and paper or a pen and pencil? Would you believe some of us never do anymore? A poll found 3% of us have never written anything down in over a year. 8% say only a few times a year, so roughly 1 in 9 people use a pen and pencil less than once a month now. I do it every day here. I write things down. I write the weather forecast down on a piece of paper. I write the who's playing in our sports scores, later on in the day. I also have a checklist I do every morning I write down. Yeah, I still use a pen. You know, I'm going to tell you. I do it on my phone, too. All my appointments are on there. I also list stuff on my my phone, like a to-do list. But, you know, you still need a pen and pencil and paper, don't you? All right, odd but true, even a nuclear apocalypse won't get you out of paying your taxes. The IRS manual has policies in place for collecting taxes after a nuclear war, mostly about shifting their focus to people in areas that weren't totally bombed out. So if your Geiger counter is clicking off that you're infected with, you know, nuclear waste, you still got to pay your taxes. 7:18, WRJN, Maggie Don coming up at the bottom of the hour. We'll talk to Maggie. She has her show on WRJN 2 to 4 p.m., but she's much more than a radio host. So we'll talk to Maggie coming up. Don't forget, it's going to be a beautiful day. Get out and enjoy it. Highs in the 60s. Right now, sunny and 45 degrees in Racine. I'm Don Rosen at WRJN, Hometown Radio Refreshed, a civic media station. First was Harper's Bazaar. That was their only hit song, the 59th Street Bridge song, Feeling Groovy. 59th Street Bridge, obviously, in Manhattan, in New York City. I've been over that bridge many times. I never felt groovy going over it, though. I felt okay once I got to the other side, but it never felt groovy.
Slow down, you move too fast. You got to make the morning.
That's not in our vocabulary anymore. Whatever happened to that? How'd that word, it was great. You know, people say, hey, man, that's groovy. How did we stop using that? What year did that fall out of favor, groovy? When I was in college, in high school, we used to use it all the time. Hey, man, we're groovy. Hey, it's groovy. All of a sudden, we can't use it anymore. You know, when I watch old TV shows from the 60s and 70s, like I watched the TV show The Odd Couple. I love that show. And there were groovies in there a few times. But you don't see it. How about the movies? Like The Trip with Peter Fonda and Susan Strasberg. Remember that movie, The Trip? And you got Easy Rider. You got all those Angels movies. Yeah, they groovies in there a lot. You see these big, tough Hells Angels guy. Hey, man, that's groovy. Now it seems so wimpy. All right, going to be a beautiful day today. Sunshiny with a high of the 60s. Right now, sunny and 45 degrees in Racine, 723 at WRJN. I'm Don Rosen, and we're at 1400 AM, 99.9 FM, and 98.1 FM in Kenosha. Well, here's another lesson on securing online domains. The state of Maryland has 800,000 people driving around advertising a gambling website in the Philippines for free on their license plates. The domain starspangled200.org, that was originally affiliated with a nonprofit to raise money for bicentennial projects and events, but they either stopped paying for the domain name or gave it up. In any case, an opportunistic gambling website had nothing to do with the American patriotism, snagged it. So now, people are driving around the state of Maryland with that Philippines gambling website on their license plate. Yeah. Starspangled200.org. Odd but true news, a convenience store worker helped her boss learn how to use surveillance cameras just in time, too, because later they caught her stealing by those same cameras she taught her boss to use. You know what I would say if I was caught? Hey, I was just testing it out. See, I just wanted to see if you can figure it out. See? All right, you can figure it out now. Call the cops off. Fun facts. Billboards are banned in the state of Vermont, and they have been so since 1968. Hurricanes with female names kill twice as many people as hurricanes with male names. And a can of Coca-Cola is 90% water. However, a can of Diet Coke is 99% water. Looking for a fight? Let the games begin. 1 out of 9 people have seen a physical fight break out over a board game. And the games that start the most fights, Monopoly, Uno, Sorry, Scrabble, and Jenga. The most common things that cause board game fights are someone quitting because they're losing, in other words, a sore loser, or accusing someone else of cheating. There was a funny picture somebody posted once. I guess it was around Thanksgiving time when the families come over. And it showed a Monopoly game board laying on the ground with all the money and the hotels and the houses laying all over the place. And it said, the family was over for Thanksgiving. That's so true. Someone's always accused of cheating. That's why I was never wanted to be the banker, because they always accuse you of cheating. Yeah, wait a second. You took $100 out for yourself. No, I didn't want that. Hey, looking for a name for your newborn daughter? All right. Karens might be on the brink of extinction. Only 325 babies named Karen were born in the U.S. recently, and now it's the 831st most popular name for a girl. That's the lowest since 1927. The name Karen has become synonymous with a stigma in a derogatory sense. The name has been falling in popularity for a while, though, even before the whole Karen thing started. The lady at my ENT doctor, ear, nose, and throat doctor, her name at the front desk is Karen. And the first time I met her, I said, your name's Karen. I said, you have trouble with that name? She goes, not until recently I didn't. Karen. Wow. How do you act in public with your sweetheart? People were asked to rank the most annoying and uncomfortable types of PDA. PDAs are public displays of affection. The top 10 include openly making out in public, talking in baby voice, oh, you're good, sweetie. One person sitting on the other person's lap and staring deep into the other person's eyes. I don't mind that. You know, groping in public, makes me feel a little uncomfortable. Maybe kiss somebody. I mean, if you're going for those passionate, you know, really passionate kisses in public. No, a little peck on the lips is okay. But, you know, the makeout session, like you're in the passion pit at a drive-in movie theater and you're really just sitting there in a restaurant. No, I don't go for that. Odd but true. A woman in the Philippines ordered some fried chicken from a fast food place, and one of the pieces turned out to be a deep-fried dish towel. Cops in Washington, D.C. found a woman's stolen car, and while she was waiting for it to be towed to her house, someone stole it again. An annual study found the best cities for a staycation are Honolulu and Orlando. Duh. Of course. They're. If I lived in Honolulu, I'd do a staycation as well. Yeah. Orlando as well. You know, my first heart doctor, what's wrong, my cardiologist, he was the guy who first told me, you're dying if you don't get your heart fixed. So he eventually retired and moved to Orlando. And I said, what is he, working the roller coaster at Disney World down there? Why would he retire there? What's the purpose? All right. A kid in Minnesota asked for a Lion King cake for his third birthday. Get this. Specifically the scene where Simba's dad falls off a cliff and dies. Kind of interesting request, right? All right. But there's a motive here. She said she wanted it like that because everyone at her party would feel too sad to eat it and she would get the whole cake for herself. Smart kid. That kid's going to be a success someday. The kid is just a little kid. All right, I like that. A study found it's safe for your heart if you drink an obscene amount of coffee on a daily basis. Researchers found people could drink up to 25 cups a day without having any extra risk of hardening of their arteries and having a stroke or heart attack. Just the thought of 25 cups, huh? Wow. All right. 729 WRJN Radio. Maggie Don coming up in just a few moments here. We're going to talk to Maggie. And although you hear her on the radio here at 2 to 4 p.m. on WRJN, she's got an interesting background. We'll talk to Ms. Don coming up in just a few moments. Sunny today with a high in the 60s. Right now it's sunny and 45 degrees. A gorgeous, beautiful morning in Racine.
I have two daughters, 16 and 19. So my life is pretty much just pure bliss at this point. The 16-year-old thinks I'm an idiot, and the 19-year-old knows I'm an idiot. It's a progression. The one good thing about having teenagers is you can speak to them in complete sentences. When they were small, they're only going to hear the first three words you say when they're little. So you got to talk in those idiotic three-word parent sentences all day. Hey, hey, hey! Stop that now. Stop it now. I said now. Yes, you will. Yes, I will. Yes, we will. Turn it up. Turn it down. Turn it off. Shut the door. Shut the fridge. Shut your face. Ask your mom. Go to bed. Go to sleep. Clean your plate. Have a bath. Pick it up. Put it down. Don't touch that. I said no. No, I said. What did I say? Say that again. I dare you. I hate you.
He said something interesting. He said he wrote the music for The Lion King. Not The Lion King. What was it? Another Disney film. I think it was Tarzan. Yeah, he wrote the music for the movie Tarzan, the Disney animated film. So when they brought it to Broadway, they said, we're going to use the songs. And he said, yeah, just use them. He said, no. We have to rewrite those songs for Broadway. He said, what do you mean? He said, you use them from the movie. He said, no, it doesn't work that way on Broadway. We got to rewrite them. He thought it would just go transfer the songs over. He had to rewrite all those songs for Broadway. It's 737 WRTN. I'm Don Rosen. And with me is Maggie Dawn, host of the Maggie Dawn Show, 2 to 4 p.m. right here on WRJN and the Civic Media Network. Hey, good morning, Maggie.
Hey, Don. Really great to be with you.
Yeah. So what made you get into radio?
Well, it's a long saga, but the root of it, the quick version, the elevator speech version, is that when Sage asked me this past holiday time, I really felt like if there was any time to get on radio, it was this year, considering the importance of everything that's going on, and it was simply an opportunity that I couldn't say no to. Now, the more self-aware version was someone offered me money to say what I think on the radio and give my opinions, which sounded pretty much like a dream job, so I had to say yes.
Yeah, it sounds like The Godfather. Somebody made me an offer I couldn't refuse.
Couldn't refuse, yes, absolutely.
Sage Weil, The Godfather. Sage Weil, of course, the owner of the company Civic Media she's talking about. But you have a really great background because you're an attorney. And
you
worked for the city of Milwaukee, and you were in charge of a $1 billion compensation fund. Am I right?
Yeah. So I spent a number of years working on Wall Street as a corporate lawyer, and then more or less, Don, burned out doing that, figured I should use my superpowers for good. And so what better way to do that than to come back home to my hometown, Milwaukee, and work for the city of Milwaukee. I worked in their city attorney's office, did a lot of advising of their pension plan as well as some of their other financially focused litigation that would come up, and eventually was asked to take over their 401k style plan. Now, in the public sector, it's not a 401k. It's either a 403b if you're a teacher, or a 457 plan. Now, we've gotten into the Internal Revenue Code, and everyone's tuning out, but I joke. So I helped them with their 401k plan, which was just under a $1 billion retirement plan, which was really a great privilege to serve my fellow employees in that way.
Once I was in charge of Coach for the Children here at the radio station, and we had $100 left in the fund, and I had to go spend it to get, you know, different clothing for needy children. And I thought that was a major. You're leaving me $100 to deal with. How am I going to deal with $100? And you had $1 billion, and I was sweating at $100.
Well, of course, helped out by a wonderful board of trustees who also were each one and then collectively my boss. So I wasn't going to be making any mistakes that they wouldn't catch.
I have to ask you some attorney questions. My uncle was an attorney in New York City, and he was for years and years and years, but he's up there now. So some of the questions I ask him kind of go right through his ears and out the other side. I should have talked to him more when he was in his prime working in the city. But I watch a lot of Dateline shows. I watch a lot of the 2020s. And I know everybody's entitled to a defense. I know that. And every lawyer's job is to defend their client the best they can. I know that. But when you know your client is guilty of a crime like murder or child abuse or something like that, how do you defend that? How do you make up a story in court and try to blame somebody else for it when you know your client is guilty? Now, my uncle said to me, you're not required to defend anybody. I mean, you can bail on those things. If you think your client's guilty of murder, you can say, listen, I have a conscience and I can't in conscience let this guy go free in the streets. But there are attorneys that will take those cases and they'll say their client didn't do it. He didn't. There's no way. And yet later on, his client will confess and say, yeah, I did it. Here's where the body's buried. But you never hear that attorney come back and be interviewed again after that. So have you ever been involved in anything like that where you know it's wrong? Or how do attorneys handle that in their heads?
Yeah, so there's a whole lot going on in that question. First, I have never practiced criminal law. I had no stomach for it. So, nope, I've never been in that situation myself. But when you look at, I think the situation that you've described is likely rarer than you may think. In other words, a truly egregious crime that the defendant readily admits to at least his or her lawyer, and then the lawyer concocts some sort of defense. In reality, if a lawyer knows something to be untrue, they should not actually be presenting it in court. And so most of the time, defense lawyers will tell their clients, don't tell me that. I need to be able to defend you, and I cannot knowingly present false facts or make an argument based on false facts in court. And so what you will see in those instances where it's very clear to a lawyer that it seems to him or her that the client did the crime is that they will effectively test the evidence being presented by the prosecution, which is what makes our criminal justice system function. Doesn't work well most days, but it functions, and this is the system that we've got. And so testing the state's presentation of evidence to be sure that presentation meets a standard of beyond a reasonable doubt is what every person in this country is constitutionally guaranteed. So the defense attorneys in that frame serve a really important purpose. I'll just say it's my personal opinion that a criminal defense lawyer that knows their client is guilty of sin, presents false facts, and makes false arguments should be disbarred. It's the same argument that I've made on my show about some of the lawyers that participated and got themselves involved with election denialism. When you know something to be false, you should not be arguing it in court. When you know that there's no evidence to support it, you should not be arguing it in court. And so I think that those lawyers have really failed their oath that they take in each state's bar to protect and defend the Constitution. And just very broadly, Don, I'll say this. Every single lawyer, it doesn't matter who your boss is or who your client is individually required to meet the standards of practice and to fulfill their oath, which basically in every state's bar includes some kind of moral turpitude language, which is fancy lawyer speak for don't knowingly do the wrong thing. Don't lie, right? Don't misrepresent things. Don't misrepresent the law. Don't make fake arguments. Don't make arguments based on inaccurate or made-up facts. And every lawyer, I would promise you, at some point in their career has had that tested. I certainly did, and it's one of the reasons that I left large corporate law. I could not, at a certain point, trust some of the people that I worked with. I felt like I was put in some very uncomfortable positions. I declined to do what I was asked to do. And as a result, frankly, I knew that I wasn't going to make equity partner at that law firm, and it was time for me to go.
I can listen to you all day talk about this. This fascinates me because I'm fascinated by Dateline in 2020, all these crime shows, the true crime. I'm fascinated by this stuff. You know, my wife and I saw The Godfather in the movie theater the other day. They showed it at the Marcus Renaissance. And oh, cool. I love that. We know all the dialogue from it. So, it's just fun watching it again on the big screen. But there's a scene in there where Michael Corleone, he murders the police officer and Salazzo in that Bronx eatery, and they ship him off to Sicily to get him out of New York for a while. And his girlfriend, Kay, played by Diane Keaton, wants to know where he is. So she goes up to Robert Duvall, who plays Tom Hagen, the family attorney, and says, I have this letter for him. And he says, I can't accept that letter because a court would say, if I accept that, I know where he is. I thought that was, wow. You're right. You can't accept that letter because the court would say, well, if you accepted that letter, then you must know where he is. And so he couldn't accept it.
Yep.
That was brilliant. I just said, whoa.
Yes, which speaks to this point, the point that I was making, that a lawyer cannot go in and offer, well, my client didn't do it, this other guy killed so-and-so, if he or she knows that to be false. Those are the bounds, the binding, the oaths that lawyers take. Now, one of the reasons that I think lawyers oftentimes are held in low esteem by people is because they can think of examples where someone was very guilty and yet they had this slick lawyer defending them. And I also think what we've just experienced collectively as a country, you see lawyers straight-facedly making some pretty absurd arguments that had no purchase, right? That had no purchase, no precedent to support them.
No, I'm getting to that. The with all the Trump trials growing on, I don't know how this guy doesn't take Valium at night before he goes to sleep, Trump. If I think there's one person upset with me in this world, I can't sleep at night. This guy's got 91 indictments against him. Holy mackerel. How do you go to sleep at night and, you know, close your eyes and wake up feeling refreshed in the morning? We're going to have to take a break in a moment, but let's get started on this. So Donald Trump has all these lawyers, and I believe their goal is not to defend him. It's to delay the trials. Just keep delaying them on and on and on. And hopefully he'll be president and he can make them go away. Well, there's going to come a point, and they're doing it now with the Stormy Daniels trial. The judge says, enough. We're picking the jury in five more days from now. And the trial's going on. You can appeal it all you want, but the trial's going to go on. So I think they're at the end of the line with that one. I don't think they're out of delay tactics. But that's what those lawyers are doing. Delay, delay, delay.
Well, and as we all know the saying, justice delayed is justice denied. And so too here. When Judge Aileen Cannon, which is the federal Trump-appointed judge that's overseeing the Mar-a-Lago documents case, began embracing some of the delay tactics that Trump's lawyers had engaged in that case, it was very concerning to me. Now, it's happening in all of his federal cases as well as the state cases, but the reason that that case was particularly disturbing to me is because it truly is the most straightforward case. Every single one of us can understand that, yeah, you probably shouldn't have the nation's war plan sitting in your golden gilded bathroom at your resort property. You know, imagine going to your friend's lake property up in, you know, Devil's Lake. You go to use the loo. Oh, and there are some top secret documents. Yes, this is not how we protect our country's most important secrets.
Well, some
it's
people
clearly a crime.
Some people have magazines in their bathrooms. You just happen to have top secret documents, so you can read it while you're sitting there. Hold on a second.
It's truly gripping reading. Yes.
Relax for a few minutes. Maggie Dawn, my guest, host of the Maggie Dawn Show, 2 to 4 p.m. We have more with Maggie coming up in just a moment at WRJN Radio, 7:49. Stay right where you are. It's 7:51 at WRJN Radio, hometown radio refreshed, a civic media station. I'm Don Rosen with Maggie Dawn, host of the Maggie Dawn Show, 2 to 4 p.m. at WRJN and the Civic Media Network. And we're talking, Maggie's an attorney, and I just have a million questions for her. And you can listen to her every afternoon, but I want these questions answered right now. So we're talking about all these, how many lawyers do you think Donald Trump has? I see those two people sitting with him in the courtroom when he was going through the $500 million one, where he got charged $250 million. And
where the judge had to tell his lawyer, now is when you stand, Attorney Haba. That trial.
Yes. Mm-hmm. There's the woman on his left and there's the guy on his right. Now, those are not, that there are different attorneys. So how many different attorneys is this guy paying off? I mean, it's got to cost him it's costing his constituents, the people who want to see him in office, they're actually paying the attorney bills. So how many attorneys does this guy have?
Well, I have to, of course, first observe that as you were describing that, the musical line, jokers to the left of me, clowns to the right, here I am, stuck in the middle with you, certainly popped to mind. But my guess, in a very serious response to your question, is probably at any given point in time across all of the cases that are proceeding. You've got the New York Attorney General case, Letitia James. You have the Alvin Bragg bribery payoff, lie about it, campaign finance criminal case in Manhattan court. You have the Florida documents case. You have the Jack Smith Washington, D.C. insurrection case. And then you have the sprawling state law-based RICO-style conspiracy case in Georgia. That is a lot. My guess is that at any one time across the various lawyers and law firms, you probably have easily over 100, maybe close to 150 lawyers. And then I'd add, you know, maybe 20 to maybe 40 paralegals and other paraprofessionals.
Oh, brother. Yeah.
I mean, it's a huge... But here's the thing, and when I moved into the public sector and was representing the city of Milwaukee and Milwaukee County, I used to joke all the time because sometimes I would find myself at opposite sides of counsel table from fancy corporate lawyers, and I used to be one, right? I used to always say, it's not the number of lawyers, it's the quality of the lawyer. And I think what you've seen for Donald Trump, as well as Rudy Giuliani, who stopped paying his lawyer, many of these folks, these aren't the cream of the crop anymore. Most lawyers have started to basically, especially the very good ones, view representing Donald Trump as kryptonite. The ones that are willing to take some of this work are those that, frankly, are seem to me to be a bit fame-seeking and think this might be their big jackpot day. And hence you see some of the buffoonery that transpired in the New York Attorney General corporate fraud case. I mean, Alina Haba was just an absolute embarrassment. Any other lawyer would basically be afraid to show their face ever again in a courtroom. But, you know, we're through the looking glass a wee bit here. And so that apparently resulted in you know, her bikini shots on Instagram, which works for the former president, apparently. Again, to me, not the volume of the lawyers, the quality. And I think he's got a slight quality control problem now.
I like the fact you called him Kryptonite, the old Superman. Kryptonite.
Oh, yes, indeed.
Superman's power is taken away. I two quick things for you here. First of all, Alan Weisselberg, I heard, is going back to Rikers Island for 3 months. He was the head of the Trump organization there, finance guy. Now, he would rather spend 3 months at Rikers Island. For people that know Rikers Island in New York, it's not a pleasant place to be.
You don't want to be there, no.
Yeah, this is not a country club prison. This is where the hardest of the hardest criminals wind up in New York at Rikers Island. It's really bad. And he would rather go to 3 months than testify against his boss. All these people are going to prison rather than turn evidence against Donald Trump. I don't get that. Now, the other one
just very briefly, Alan Weisselberg did testify against Trump, but he lied.
Right, he lied.
That's why he's going back to Rikers. He's already spent some time there. By the way, Rikers Island, there's basically a lawsuit a minute coming out of the treatment and the conditions at Rikers Island. New York City just settled a case, I think, for a historic, somewhere north of maybe $12 million for a guy that tried to hang himself while Rikers Island guards watched him do it. He hung there and now has permanent brain damage. That gives you a flavor of what's going on at Rikers.
Yeah, this is not a country club. The other one is, I said to my brother the other day, we only have a minute here, but I got to get this answer from you. Let's say Donald Trump is found guilty in these criminal cases. Are they really going to send him to prison? I mean, are they really going to send the former president behind bars? My brother said, well, some of these cases, they don't have a choice, the judge. They got to go to prison. Are they going to ever send this guy to prison?
Your brother is exactly right. And here's why I'm disturbed by the fact that it's only the hush money case that seems likely to be heard before the election. That one is the least likely to produce a prison or jail term. And the biggest point here, not as just we understand the saying justice delayed is justice denied, but the American people, especially if you believe Mr. Trump is innocent, deserve to hear the evidence presented against him and tested in a court of law. And all of these judges, especially Aileen Cannon in Florida, that are denying us all our right, speedy trials work both for the defendant and for the public so that we can see that evidence tested. It is a damn shame.
Yeah, and I don't know if they'll... my brother said they have no choice. He's got to go to prison. I can't picture it. But we never know. Maggie, you got to come back. This wasn't enough. I need to do a whole weekend with you, live on the air, even though I don't work weekends here. I got to, I'll tell you what, we're going to cancel the Brewers game this afternoon at 5:05. I got 3 hours with you. Maggie, thank you.
Don't do that. I'd hate you for that.
Maggie, thank you very much. Maggie Dawn, host of the Maggie Dawn Show, 2 to 4 p.m., not only on WRGN, but the entire Civic Media Network. Hold on a second. Don't go anywhere. Stay right where you are. I'm Don Rosen. We'll do it again tomorrow morning, 6 a.m. We got the mayor coming in tomorrow. Mayor Corey Mason, the mayor of the city of Racine, is going to come in here. We'll grill him. No, he's a good guy. We're going to just talk about issues relating to the city of Racine tomorrow with the mayor. 759 WRJN, hometown radio refreshed, a Civic Media Station.